are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Can free will and predestination coexist without causing a cosmic collision? Some theologians have tried to harmonize them with theories that sound more like sci-fi plots, whilst among others have resigned themselves to the mystery. Can predestination and free will be the theological equivalent of peanut butter and jelly blending together to create something greater? Let's explore whether these concepts can share the same stage and what that means for our understanding of God and humanity. We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Pasmo Munga, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi Murubwaji. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
Please, you're most welcome, and also I'm also excited.
Amen and amen. I'm gonna ask Fundis that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer? Oh, network aibo. Kanjan. Pastor, welcome back.
Yes.
I was saying that. Can you please offer a word of prayer before we start?
Thank you. Our Lord and our Savior, we are excited to be in your presence because you are children. You are our Father. You have got a word you want to speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that you be with our presenter, you be with all of us, even as listeners, that will learn something that will bring us closer to you and closer to each other. In Jesus' name, we pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us in everything that will be said, because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. The issue of predestination and free will, it always, you know, it's quite an interesting conversation there. But how can we now understand predestination and free will, you know, as compatible concepts in Christian theology? Me, when I'm sitting here, these two, they don't mix. They do not mix, but maybe they do. So you will tell us, good, how do they, or how can they be compatible?
Thank you very much. For sure, there has been a lot of theological debates on predestination versus free will. But I'm praying that the conversation, I will not make it as theological as it is. I'm a theologian.
Yeah.
But we'll make it not to be theological so that we can get something out of it. And I know that the debates on this, or in terms of theology, will continue.
Mm-hmm.
Predestination, as far as the Bible is concerned, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, whenever the Bible talks about predestination, it only talks about salvation.
Okay.
That one must be very clear, and we must lay it as a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the Bible talks about predestination, it only talks about salvation. Let's look at like Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is Romans 8, verse 29. We have got also Ephesians 1, verse 5. The New King James says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So God's predestination always leads to salvation. Nowhere does the Bible teach that anyone is predestined to be lost. There is nowhere, at least from the Bible. If there is a scripture that says someone is predestined to be lost, I can appreciate to have that text, and I can bet a lot of money. Wherever the Bible talks about predestination, it always talks about predestination leading to salvation. But we must also quit to mention that some people reason within themselves, independently from Scripture, that since God knows who is going to be lost, that takes the free choice away.
Yes.
Now, that thought is not based by Scripture.
Okay.
It's not backed by Scripture anywhere. But Scripture teaches that we are all predestined to be saved. Therefore, the only way to be lost is by using our God-given free choice to be lost, totally independent from God's plan. God's plan is very clear. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. How many people does God want to be saved? Everyone. Talk about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all human beings to be saved. God's desire is for all human beings to be saved.
Yes.
Talk about even in John 3, verse 16, which everyone can recite. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever, what definition can you talk about in terms of being lost in there?
Yep.
Whoever believes in him, who have what? Everlasting life. So predestination, as far as the Bible is concerned, is only leads to salvation.
Yeah.
There's nowhere the Bible says that someone has been predestined to be lost. Predestination towards being lost or so, that is human thinking. It is not biblical. That foundation we must lay as we discuss everything about predestination and free will.
And you're so right. I think that's why when it comes to predestination, Mfundisi, me, I don't entertain that conversation, because I'm like, it's not make sure. Not saying that it's wrong or anything. Yes, it's good that we're having this conversation so we can better understand and better balance here. But looking at, I'm glad that, you know, speaking as a theologian that you are, but looking at these issues, you know, what are some of those theological perspectives that we are finding out there? For example, there's the English here, Mfundisi.
Compatibilityism.
Thank you.
there are a lot, actually. People have written, Augustine has written, this one has written. There are plenty of them. And all of them are bordering almost on one thing, that since God has predestined this and that, so that means if you are a Christian, no matter how much you struggle, if you are in that group that God has said this will be lost, no matter what you do, it is just in vain. You are wasting your time. There are some people that God has already picked who will be saved. Most of those that talk about predestination, they usually border along those lines.
Okay.
That God has already picked some people who will be saved, and there are people that he has picked who will be lost. Meaning those who will be saved, no matter what you do, you'll be saved because you have already been chosen. Even your choices are in line with that. Whatever you choose, it will go in the same direction. Almost all those, they talk about the same, that there are people who will be lost, people who will be saved, and God has chosen them already. Now, that one, those teachings are against the biblical teaching.
Yeah.
They are against the biblical teaching because God wants everyone to be saved. What will make someone to be saved or to be lost is our freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we looked at the issue of the marriage of Isaac in Genesis chapter 24, where we find God leading, or the Abraham promises this person, when you go to this place, the angel will lead you. When the servant arrives there, he says, I pray that the woman who do this, who do that, that's the one to be married to Isaac. And everything fits very well in that. When the narration was given to the two families, the family says, no, this is God's leading. But at the end, they say, we have to call the lady. Will you go with this man? God was leading all the way. They could have said, since God has said, you lady, Rebecca, go with this man. But they called the lady, will you go with this man? What are we talking about? Freedom of choice.
Yeah.
Even when God had laid everything, put everything in place, she was given the chance to choose not to go, not to be married to Isaac, or to be married to Isaac. So there's nowhere predestination removes the freedom of choice. No. Those who will be lost, those who will be saved, they will be lost or saved because of their individual choices. The Bible is very clear about that one.
Yeah. So looking at that, Mfundiswami, do we have a situation where the Bible illustrates the interaction between divine sovereignty and human's choice?
Yes, it does. You talk about like the Moses dealing or the children of Israel and Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at like Exodus 8 verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and he came not unto the Lord. And the Lord said again, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Actually, the earlier version says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But then it amplifies when you go down here that the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Why? This is the Pharaoh who in Exodus 5 who says, who is God that I should obey him? Openly says, no, I don't want to follow the way of the God says this, but Pharaoh says, I will not do this. When the Bible talks about the heart of Pharaoh being hardened, or being hardened, what is he talking about? Look about butter or wax. You have got butter this side, you have got clay the other side. You expose butter to heat, it will melt. You expose wet clay to heat, it will harden. They are all exposed to the fire, but they respond differently.
Yeah.
Why? Because of the materials that they are made.
Yeah. Pastor Munga? Oh, network. Network. You can let us know on +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520. Speaking about all things predestination and free will. So let's see if we can just reconnect my Mpundisi there because the network has decided to dribble us there as he was going on there, you know, giving us those nice examples there. So do let me know, what are your thoughts when it comes to predestination and free will? That number is +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520. I think the network pastor there is gone. Let me just try call him in a different manner so that we can have that conversation, right? Me, I always don't understand. But if you are saying me, I've been predestined, what's the point now? What's the point? What's the point of all of these things? All right, so let's see if we can get Mpundisi on a different line here so that we can continue with this particular conversation here. Let me see if we have a pastor. Pastor, hi, do I have you on this line?
Yes, please.
Yes, perfect.
I'm sorry, I really don't know what happened.
No, it's okay, Mpundisi. It's okay, Mpundisi. You may finish up with that thought there about the divine sovereignty and human choice so we can go to the next one.
Thank you. So what I was saying is that God is the sovereign power. I remember yesterday, my friend there, the presenter, was saying, I wish there was a way God could force us to do something.
You know?
Since he has got all the power. That he just say, no, you do this, you do this. He gets you from here, throws you on the right side.
Mm.
But God will not do that.
Yeah.
When he does that, that means we become machine.
Mm.
We become machine,
yeah.
But the freedom of choice is what allows the character development.
Mm.
People have wrestled with some of the verses in the Bible when you talk about the issue of, like in Romans 9 there, where God says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated.
Mm.
What do you make out of that?
Mm.
And then we have got also, when you read, because the best way the Bible, you have to compare scripture with scripture.
Mm.
In Luke 14:26, where the Bible says, for you to follow him, you must hate your family.
Yeah.
So we can see that the hating of the family there is that we talk about preference.
Mm.
This one is prepared over this. But ultimately, their freedom of choice is always there. Much as God is sovereign, he's in charge, he's all-powerful, but he still gives us the freedom to choose.
Mm.
He shows us the right way. He shows us when we rebel. The consequences are shown to us very clearly. But at the end of the day, the choice lies with us.
Mm.
And that is the beauty part of God. And that's the beauty part of Christianity.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So in what ways, Mpundiswami, does this reconciliation impact our understanding of God's character and his relationship with humanity?
Yes, like you have so talked about the freedom of choice and predestination, they are never at loggerheads.
Mm.
They are all talking about one thing.
Yeah.
God wants every human being to be saved But at the same time, as God wants all human beings to be saved, that is the divine will of God.
Mm.
But ultimately, it comes to you, it comes to me to choose or to accept or not to choose it. Mm. Like when you read in the same Romans 8, verse 29 and verse 30 there, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, that he might be the firstborn among men, brethren. Moreover, he predestined. Whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, he also justified.
Mm.
And whom he justified, he also glorified. So we can see the process of being called. If you are called, then he talks about a choice there.
Mm.
Because he called. Because when you are called, you have got a an opportunity to accept or not or to reject.
Yes.
But when we respond to him, what does he do? He justifies us. What to do to justify? To put you right.
Hmm.
You accept Christ. Your sins are forgiven. As if you have never sinned at all.
Hmm.
Finally, to be glorified. When Jesus comes, he translates you from a mortal body, a body that can die, to a body that will never die.
Hmm.
So when you look at the biblical narration, actually, predestination is an activity.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about the Bible, it talks about those whom God foreknew, whom he predestined before heaven and earth were founded.
Mm.
So salvation is something that was put in place even before they were human beings.
Mm.
So no wonder it cannot work out that there are some people that he chose to be lost or to be saved. Because the plan was made before there was any human being.
Yeah. So, Mpundisi, you know, I think with all most of the concepts that we do discuss here on AWR and you know, try to understand, we never ever end without looking at the issues of faith as well as humility. You know, looking at, for example, what role does faith now and humility play in when it comes to one grappling with the tension between predestination and free will? Because I'm thinking that if you're not humble, you won't understand this whole thing of free will, you know, because you're going to go around, you know, beating your chest. Hey, me, I have been predestined by God. I can't journey now, you know. So looking at that, how does faith now and humility play a huge role, even also in this free will? Because we also need humility as well when it comes to free will. Because just because you can choose anything you want, it doesn't mean that you can go around, you know, boasting as you like. You know, how do those now two concepts play a role in this issue?
Thank you. The good part of it is that God calls us so that we can call others.
Mm.
He invites us to himself, then he sends us to call others.
Mm.
In other words, what you have become, the truth that you have accepted, he wants you also to tell another person.
Mm.
And when we talk about the things of God, all things of God are spiritually understood.
Mm.
I'm at a camp meeting, and one of the reasons we have is that according to God, according to what the Bible says,
yeah,
everything that God tells us, humanly speaking, does not make sense. As a human being, we need to know what God tells us. Humanly speaking, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Jesus tells people at a wedding, can you bring pots of water, correct water? Before he doesn't even touch the water, he says, no, can you serve to the people now? This is a drink.
Mm.
It required faith for those people to draw water. Drinks run out of the wedding. Then someone just go to the nearest tap, fill the bottles with water, it will become drink.
Mm.
It requires faith. And then you serve this drink. So at each and every stage, it requires faith. No wonder the disciples would pray to say, Lord, help our unbelief.
Mm.
Increase our faith.
Mm.
And the Bible talks about every person having a measure of faith. But this faith is supposed to increase from time to time. In other words, as we exercise the faith also is supposed to increase.
Mm.
Faith, like it is explained there in Hebrews 11, the substance of things hoped for. You have not seen this. Like the young ladies have told these ladies who are preparing to marry, we pray for a week for the husband. They say, no. Now, after we have prayed for your husband, if you believe, then you start looking for a wedding dress. That is faith now.
Yes.
And you start designing wedding, the invitation cards for your wedding.
Yeah.
That is faith now. You do something, you believe it will happen. How it will happen, you don't know.
Yeah.
What you just know that the one you have talked to, He will do it.
Mm.
We were talking in the morning on our Facebook page about those 10 lepers.
Yeah.
Jesus says, no, you go, and the people there, they have lepers, they approach him and say, no, you go. You go and present yourself to the priest. He does not even touch them. The other leper, he touched and he was healed. But this just sends them to the priest.
Mm.
And as they go, they are healed. So he has got 1,000 ways of reaching us. So he's not limited to how we do things or that, but it required faith for those lepers to start walking with all their lepers. No, this man told us to go and see the priest.
Mm.
And as they are going, they find they are healed.
Yeah.
So it requires faith. And when we have this faith in God, it is also the one that will keep us to be humble, because we shall know that everything that we have in our life has come from God.
Mm.
And when everything has come from God, you have no reason to boast. How do you boast?
So Mfundisi, seeing that within the body of Christ, we have these different views as well as beliefs. And interestingly enough, even within the same denominations, in the same church, same local church, some people, they believe in different things. But looking at the broader scale, how do we now diffuse the tension, not have fights, not have anything where one is believing in free will, the other one is believing in predestination, but we live together, all of us in harmony, teaching one another in terms of our beliefs? Because it can get to blows in this way. Then people go blow by blow because of predestination and free will.
No, we continue learning. And we need to be patient with each other.
Mm.
God does not want uniformity among us. What he wants is harmony.
Mm.
Harmony, just like in a choir, some are bass, some are tenor, some are alto, and those parts. But what he wants is harmony, not uniformity. God does not want all of us to look alike, but he wants us to be harmonized. Much as you have got a view that is different from mine, I still have to tolerate you. I still have to accommodate you. Until you can come to that understanding. Like the Bible says, there are some people who continue learning. They don't reach any point. They will continue learning, asking questions. Very controversial. Those people will always be there. They were there. They will always be there. And we need to be tolerant with each other. We are all learning. And we need to accommodate divergent views. Jesus accepted. Look at the group that he had, the team of disciples. They all had divergent views. But he lived with them for 3.5 years. So even us, we need to live with each other, even when you have got views that are different.
And when we live in those views, harmony is going to prevail. Mfundisi, any closing words regarding these issues of predestination and free will? And then after that, please pray for us, Njene, just to be humble, all of us, and learn from one another.
Thank you. So predestination, our dear listeners, and free choice. Predestination in the first place in the Bible, wherever it is mentioned, like in those two texts in Romans and the Ephesians, it only talks about salvation.
Mm.
It does not talk about God choosing a certain group of people to be chosen, to be saved, or to be lost. That teaching is not biblical. In the Bible, everyone, God wants all people to be saved. That's what the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation. God wants everyone to be saved. But when it comes to be saved or to be lost, it is the freedom of choice. God has not removed us the freedom of choice from us. If he removed the freedom of choice, then we are no longer human beings. Now we become computers. We become programmed. But to differentiate us from all other animals, we have got the freedom of choice.
Mm.
So that at the end of the day, where you find yourself, and I must also mention here very critically that Matthew 25 verse 41 is very clear that the fire, hellfire, was prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible is very clear.
Uh-huh.
So you do not need to go where you are not invited. The fire was made. The fire was made for the devil and his angels. So if you talk about predestination in terms of being lost, you are talking about the devil and his angels. That one is biblical. So you don't have to go where you are not invited. You are invited to live eternally. So you and I and our listeners, let us make that choice. And when we make that choice, let us be humble, because it is God who gives us power to make that choice and even to maintain that choice.
Mm-hmm.
One day we'll look back, we'll be up there living eternally.
Yeah.
We can pray.
Yes, please.
Our Lord and our Savior, we are so thankful that you are with us in this conversation.
Mm.
We may have a lot of questions in our hearts in terms of freedom of choice and predestination. May your scriptures help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to know your will and to do your will, and to be excited about the plan of salvation.
Mm.
And especially that, Lord Jesus, we have to choose you or we have to reject you. But the beauty part of it, your spirit to help us all the way to choose you, to remain with that choice, even when the road is narrow, when our choices at times lead to persecution. Lord, may your spirit lead us. May your spirit help us to walk with you all the way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through to the chat again tomorrow.
Please, you are most welcome. God bless you and God bless our listeners.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.